Well, time has come for that North Carolina party. Brother Brian Sice, come on up, preach to us.
I got my was whatever it was. I was thinking about she's got an app on there. This is my wife's phone, and so she gave it to me so I could tell the time. Got big old, when you push that button, you can tell how much time it is. And I'm on North Carolina time, so. But anyway, it's 11:27, in case anybody wants to know. You're not going to eat till 12:30. So you got me for a few minutes. I appreciate being here, and I thank the Lord for Byron putting this on and the people that's worked hard to get it. Putting on a conference is not no easy cakewalk. It's work in it. And I appreciate you and your folks has done it. I thank you for it. I believe fellowship is needed in the body of Christ, especially among grace believers. You know, nobody's got a monopoly on this book. You know, the more you study it, and the more you read it, realize the less you know. It's fascinating to me how that, as Brother Clyde said, he read the book of Ephesians all those times and never seen mystery. I've had that to happen to me many times. Read a verse, then all of a sudden something jumps out of that verse at you. Well, why hadn't I seen that before? And so there is nothing new under the sun. You don't have no new revelations. You got a King James Bible, and you might know more than I do, but you're no more saved than I am. I was saved in 1971 in a hotel room in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. I didn't have an aisle to walk down. There was a big old king-sized bed there, and I got down on my knees the best I knew how, and I asked the Lord to save me. Now, you got to realize I was raised a Baptist. I was born into the Baptist family. My dad was a strict Baptist, and my mom taught Sunday school. Dad was a deacon. And we didn't go to church just once in a while. We went three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They had revivals. They went from Monday to Saturday. And you didn't get up and say, or we're going to church tonight. You knew you was going to church. And so all I'm saying is, I was raised that way. And I was very religious. I walked the aisle when I was 16 years old. I was standing back there at a service that they was having. And it was we had services. You know, they would jump pews and everything else when I was a little boy. We had a good time. And so anyway, the preacher walked down the aisle. Me and my friend was standing there. And I'll never forget, he grabbed a hold of my arm. He's squeezing my arm. And he's tugging on me. And he said, "Brian, if you died right now, where would you go?" I said, and I just said it. I said, "I'd go to hell." And me didn't care. And so he's pulling on my arm. Well, Sammy was right beside me. He was one of my best friends. He saw what was happening, he just cut out the other end of the pew and went on. Because he knew if he got me out, he was next in line. And so I'm sitting there, and I look up and I see my mama. And she's like this. You know, it's supposed to be every head bowed and all her eyes closed. Mama's doing like this. And I knew if I didn't do what that preacher wanted me to do, I was going to have to answer the mama when I got home. And you didn't want to answer the mama. So down the aisle I went. And they gathered around me like they was everywhere. They talked for pride. And we was all praying. I wasn't praying. They were praying. And I got up and I said, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. And I feel so much better. But you know why I felt better? I got rid of the condemnation that they put on me. Yeah. And I knew mama was going to be happy. So that was my testimony. And after that, do you feel the urge to preach? And we went on, and so finally, I said, I'm a preacher. I'll never forget, I backed down that aisle. What you down here for? Believe the Lord wants me to preach. Well, I get up. And so next Sunday, I was up there preaching. Lost. Didn't know the Lord. First sermon, remember I got up, had a Scofield Bible, turned to John 15, looked down there, and he had 3 points. I said, that's pretty good points right there. I'll just use that tonight. Didn't know nothing about bearing fruit, much fruit, more fruit. And that was his point. I'm saying all this, but things got to bother me. I began to realize, hey, something ain't right. And so I went for 2 years. And my wife's here, she knows. I went to my pastor's house for 2 years. Knocked on his door every week. There was not a week go by that I didn't go down there. Preacher, I feel like I'm lost. I don't think I'm saved. Oh no, you need more faith. I remember the last time I went to his house, he had me to read Hebrews chapter 11. And I read Hebrews 11 and all, it seemed like it was all great. Faith. Need more faith. Need to pray more. I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, if I'm lost, show me I'm lost. But I'm a fool. That's what he's trying to do. And it would get to me and it'd be like, Lord, if I'm saved, let them sing Amazing Grace. Give me a sign. What's the odds of singing Amazing Grace at Independent Fundamental Premillennial Baptist Church? It went on like that for 2 years. And finally, we lived in a little house trailer and there's a clothesline Jude had put up outside, and I was miserable. I was always, I'd take Romans 10 and 9 to go down through that, and I'd say, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. I'd get down at night beside the bed in the bedroom by myself and take Romans 10, and I'd go through it, and I'd go through Romans 3, and I'd go through all of the Roman road, and I'd read them verses, and I'd say, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. Always had that little word if in there. Nothing. Miserable. And I'll never forget standing in that backyard. said, Lord, if this is religion, the hell with it. I walked into the house. I took my license off the wall, opened the door, drawer and put them in there. And I said, I ain't having nothing else to do with God, the Bible, church, or nothing. I'm miserable. I want my life back. And there was one preacher. He was preaching to account me that I had confidence in. Because all the other preachers, you're okay. The devil's doing it. You need more faith. You need to pray more. You might have sin in your life. Unconfessed sin. I was confessing everything I knew. If you sneeze without a handkerchief, I thought that was wrong. I'd just confess everything. I mean, folks, I was trying my best to live a life that God would accept. Miserable. And I'll never forget it. I went to that man. And he's gone now. Didn't say much to me. I just told him what I was going through. And he looked at me and he said, you're trying to build a house without a foundation. Amen. And he said, have you ever admitted that you're a sinner? And it was like a ton of bricks hit me. I realized I was lost. I realized that my salvation had nothing to do with me.
Amen.
And that's when I got down on my knees. I didn't know no better. I didn't know I had to. I wasted 2 years and I didn't have to wait. And I'll never forget. I said, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm an old wretched sinner. I want to be saved. Will you save me? And I'll never forget that night when I said, I know you died for me, the sinner that I am. And but that was it. There was a peace that came over me that night. There was a peace. I jumped up and my first cousin was with me and I said, Shorty, I'm saved.
Amen.
I am saved. For the first time I can say, I'm saved. And I got back home. It was about 5 in the morning on Saturday morning. I got June out of bed. Woke her up. Went into bed. Woke her up. What in the world is going on? The Lord saved me that night. Or last night. I'm saved. You've got a saved husband. And about 12 o'clock Saturday evening, I looked over there. She was crying. I said, what in the world's wrong? She said, I'm a sinner and lost too.
Amen.
And I said, well, all I'm paying you to do is do what I did. Just trust that he died for you. Trust him for your salvation. And the Lord saved her that day.
Amen.
I thought, why am I saying this? Because everybody else gave their testimony. I'm trying to give them my
testimony.
You think you're going to get up here and eat honey and I'm not? I'm saved. And you know something? I'm no more savior today, if there is a word savior, but I'm no more savior today than I was then. And you know, I'm going to heaven whether I want to go or not, and couldn't go to hell if I wanted.
Amen.
Why? It's not about me.
That's right.
My salvation had nothing to do with me.
Amen.
All I did was receive what he did for me.
Amen.
In my behalf. Saved. We talk about salvation. Well, that word saved means a few different things in the Bible. It not only just is souls, let's look at some things. Now let's go this route. We got plenty of time. And the Lord might come back before I get done. And if he does, and you're still here, just help yourself to that food. One woman said to me one time, she said, "Well, I sure hope I see you in heaven." I said, "Dear sister, it ain't up to me. I'm going to be there. It's going to be up to you." And I, where did you have that assurance?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else. I have assurance of salvation.
Amen.
Yes. Not what I did because of what he did.
Amen.
But whenever I saw the truth of right division in 1973, 2 years after I got saved, I was pastoring an independent Baptist church. I went to Chattanooga and I heard Brother Moore. And I seen some things in it. And I began to study the Bible in light of certain things that he taught. And I had taped him, and I took the messages back and began to listen to them over and over. And I'll never forget his text was in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. I say that Jesus Christ is the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the Father. He said, "I want to talk to you about the book of Matthew in light of that verse."
Amen.
And my eyes got open. Now, I have the same assurance that teaching and preaching this book rightly divided is the truth of God Almighty as I do I'm saved. Same assurance. Same peace about it. I don't struggle about writing. That's why over ever how long it's been, you keep on going. Because once the Lord shows you something, you can't be talked out of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a fact. Amen.
And if God shows you this book and shows you truth in this book, you're not going to be swayed and talked out of it next week.
That's right.
Why? You're going to believe it. And this crowd comes in and goes out, and they're always chasing this or chasing that. Folks, listen, just believe the book. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This verse has been quoted many times. In verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles and saved in there. Now I want you to know that he said, "I will have all men to be." There are some things in this passage of Scripture. I want you to see the difference. Notice, hang on here and come on with me to Hebrews and look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. He said that he was a mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. There is one God, one mediator. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Notice in verse 15. "And for this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament." Well, I know Paul's not talking to, about the New Testament here. Paul presents him as the mediator between God and men. He said there in verse 6, and gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Look in Matthew chapter 20. You know, notice what he says in verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. Jesus Christ, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for all? For many. You know, Paul always made spiritual applications. But there are some distinctions that you can make. The Bible, listen, I know many is not all. And all is not many.
That's right.
You know how I know that?
English.
They're spelt different. I may take little words, you know, well, we just change this little word, that little word, this, that. I'd a whole lot rather be by the fire, B-Y, than in the fire, I-E. Words mean something. If God hadn't wanted these words in the Bible, he wouldn't have put them there. A ransom for many. Look at when Jesus Christ is up there. Notice what he says in, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Notice he's talking about his blood. He says in verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for
many.
Many? Many. Boy, you hope you're in that many, ain't you? Shed for many for the remission of sin. Verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Well, I read where we have forgiveness through the shedding of his blood. We, folks, Jesus Christ would have all men to be saved today. You can't make distinctions like that. You have to recognize these distinctions. We don't make the distinctions in the Bible. We just bring them out. We just recognize the divisions that God Almighty made.
Amen.
Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, notice what he said in verse, they asked him, who do men say that I am? Verse 15. In verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I was raised believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I was raised as a child to believe that he went to a cross and that he died on that cross for the sins of the world. I believed this. If you would have came up to me when I was 16 years old, a young man, and asked me, I'd say, sure he did. I knew the gospel. You understand? I knew that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. I knew he was buried. I knew that he was raised the third day. I believed that. But I never believed it for myself. It was just news. It wasn't good news until I seen myself lost and need of a Savior and knowing that He's the only one that could save me, and I came to Him for salvation.
Praise God.
That's when he saved me.
Yes, he did.
Not while I was down reading scripture and memorizing the scripture and saying, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. No, no, no. He just would not. But when I realized, I said I'm a sinner, that he done something. So Paul goes back in 1 Timothy, he talks about the ransom. Not a ransom for many, a ransom for all. God would have all men to be saved. That word saved there. Looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, the old 1828, the one we always use, you know that old one. Notice what he says there. He said to preserve. It's to heal. To save something is to heal it. To make whole. To keep something safe. You save something. You keep it safe. You make it whole. You heal it. You preserve it.
Amen.
To be saved. Notice in 1 Timothy again. Look in, well, where are you at in 1 Timothy?
We don't know.
You don't know where we're at. Chapter 2. Look down with me in verse 12. Now I know you ladies, and God bless your heart. You have a ministry, you have a part in the body of Christ, and you have a work to do. And I thank God, Paul admonished, he praised some of the women for the work that they did in helping him. But I want you to understand something. It's not to usurp authority over the man or teach a man.
Amen.
So I don't believe that. Well, I don't care what you believe. Let me read it. Verse 11 said, let the women learn in silence and all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now what's the thing? How does thing go? We're talking about saving now. When we say I'm saved, but Paul uses that word different in many cases. That's not soul salvation. And he goes on, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Well, I believe the they of verse 15 is not the children. You know, I hear some of the commentaries that I read how that if the children remain, she'll be... No, I don't think that's what it is. I think the context has to do with being saved from deception. Notice what he said there in verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Adam knew what was going on. Eve gave the fruit to her husband who was with her. Eve was deceived in thinking the way Satan wanted her to think. Now look what he said. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved. That's not soul salvation. She shall be saved in childbearing if they, the husband and wife, they, Adam and Eve, they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. Folks, this is saved from deception. This is what the body of Christ needs today. They need to be saved from the deception that's in religion.
Amen.
All right. Yes, amen.
I mean, I was raised, I was deceived. My mother and my daddy had a testimony of salvation. I asked my dad before he Well, when he was, before he got so bad with Alzheimer's that he didn't know who I was, and I talked to him, and he would give me over and over every time. He couldn't tell me how to get to the store, but I'd say, Dad, can you tell me about your salvation? Are you saved? And he would go over the same thing every time. He could remember his salvation. But religion deceived him, and not, he didn't know nothing about right division. As far as I know, my mother didn't either. I'm telling you, folks, if you got people in the mystery of iniquity out there, you need to pray and do everything in your power to get them out of it. And they won't like you and everything, and it doesn't matter about whether they like you. They ain't going to like you probably anyway. I mean, just get to the place where, you know, who cares? Then we've got, there's a war going on. And we need to stand up for what we believe this book to be, and we believe it to be the Word of God, and get people out of the systems that's deceiving and damning their children. I believe one of the worst things, folks, there's people more going to hell sitting on the pew of a church than there are in the honky-tonks across America.
Amen. You got that right.
Now look at this thing here. Look what he says in verse chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Saved. Paul talks about being saved from deception a lot. Look in chapter 4, notice in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this, doing what? Taking heed and continuing in the doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Timothy was a saved man. The people he was ministered to, no doubt, many of them were saved. Saved from what? We'll look back in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now folks, those spirits and those devils are not just floating around in a room somewhere. Those spirits and those doctrines is in bodies of flesh. And John even says, try the spirits and see whether or not they be of God. For many, and he goes on and talks about our false spirit, false prophets come into the world. Folks, there's a lot of men and women out there that are led by the spirit of Satan. They're teaching doctrines and they're teaching things that go contrary to the Word of God, rightly divided, and it's not of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't care if he's got this Dr. Snodgrass. I don't care if he's got enough initials behind his name that you could write an alphabet book about. I'm telling you, if it's not according to the book rightly divided, it's not of God.
Preach now.
Now this might as well just tell it what he said. Save thyself. Take heed. Notice this thing about it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now most of you know these verses. This is nothing new. I don't have anything new. I mean, what I think might be new, Paul wrote it down several years ago. This book's a lot older than I am. I might look older than that. And this is why we wear coats. You ever notice those men? You know Clyde got that shirt tail out. You know why that is? You don't see this body with a tight shirt on. Look at all these guys got these shirt tails out. Wife, see, she'll say, don't wear your shirt tail out. I'm bulging, you know. Look at 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your mind, notice where it's at, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, they try to make it complex. They try to make it hard. I want to tell you something. It just baffles me that God Almighty would do what he did and delivered his son up over in the hands of Gentiles and having them to bring him in the hall and having to slap him in his face, pull his beard out, spit in his face, beat him and to a pulp and tie him and whip him and take him out and nail him to a cross and put him through all that he put him through and then make salvation so hard that you have to hunt and see and worry about it and you could never get saved.
Amen.
There's simplicity. You know what it is? It's receiving.
Amen.
What he did. But look at this. It goes on down. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Remember the doctrines of devils, spirits, seducing spirits. Or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Don't give in to it. Look over in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Man can say a lot of things about what he is, but it's what comes out of that mouth that tells the tale. And chicken soup for the soul just don't get it done. How to be a better you doesn't get it done. All this stuff, mind. Think about what a man says. Think about it in the light of this book. Verse 14, and no marvel. Is that the dinner bell? Well, yeah, I can stop any time. All right. Well, I hadn't been up here that long. What time did I tell you it was?
27.
11:27. Did you write that down with us? Well, it's 12:04 now.
Don't ask me to do the math.
Look at verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look over back in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice these things about verse 1. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're self-centered. And because of their self-centeredness, because they love themselves, they're covetous people. They're boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, you know what he said, the form of God? He's talking about religion. You know, the most proud, covetous people and the people that I knew, I don't have a trouble with a drunk. It's religious people. They give me the hardest time. But we can be saved from them. How? Continually. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Look what he says back in chapter 2. In chapter 2 he says verse 15. Well, look in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they should strive, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. To subvert is to turn upside down. It's to ruin. It's to overthrow, corrupt. Subverting. Doctrine. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word, their doctrine, will eat as doeth a canker, like gangrene. You can't heal it. It just keeps eating and eating and eating and destroying and destroying good tissue after good tissue. Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What are we to do? He said, verse 30, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. They're teaching false doctrine, saying that the resurrection is past already. They're not saying that there was no resurrection. They're saying that it's already past. They didn't heed this verse 15. They didn't rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
And that doctrine just eat it like a canker, and it keeps eating. And it'll keep on eating till people. You know, you can tell a lie so long till you'll believe it. Mm-hmm. The truth.
That's right.
Oh, you open the book, you show, and it's almost like, I don't care what that book says. I believe what my preacher. And he said there, saying that the resurrection is past already, it overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When you don't see what iniquity is, turn with me to Isaiah, look in Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, look in chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, I'm not going to read all of them, but notice in verse 13, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You know what that is? Religion. It's getting together, having assembly, and all of the false religion and all the false doctrine and all of the stuff that goes on in the name of the Lord. A iniquity. And I'll tell you something, when you see the truth of this book, you won't have no problem departing from it. We're saved if we continue in this. Look what he said back in 2 Timothy again in chapter 2, verse 7. I believe Clyde quoted it. Verse 7 says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." And folks, I will tell you something. Why would Paul make a statement like that in verse 8, according to my gospel? Because the resurrection had been preached by Peter and the 12, that God had raised him up to sit upon the throne. And Paul preached that he was raised for your justification. Paul was preached that he's the head of the body. And though we knew him after, as yet now henceforth know we him no more,
right,
according to the flesh. We know him as the glorified Son of God, the quickening spirit that came up out of that tomb. He's the head of the body. Save yourself. Continuing, Paul. All salvation, and then we're saved from his wrath. Look at Romans. And I'm going to just wind it down here. Look at Romans chapter 5. To be saved is to be saved not only to save ourselves from deception, but we're saved from judgment. We're saved from wrath, condemnation, and we're saved from his anger. You see, when Jesus Christ died, Romans 8 said, God delivered him. Look what he says there in Romans chapter 5. While we were yet, what is that? Let's see. Let me just read. Come back to verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength," you don't have enough strength to save yourself. You don't have the ability to save yourself. You don't have the knowledge to save yourself. What can you, as a sinful individual, offer to God Almighty that's going to make him be pleased with you?
Nothing.
There is nothing. What sacrifice could you bring to a holy, righteous God? The bringer of the sacrifice become one with the sacrifice. You understand that? When Abel and Cain came together, Cain probably put more time, more effort in his offering than Abel ever thought about. Abel brought a lamb. Abel didn't produce that lamb. Abel just let that lamb just go and eat. He didn't have nothing to do with it. He brought what God told him to bring. Cain probably got out there and sweat and work and toil, and I can just picture it in my mind, him just setting all the fruits in the ground. He's bringing something that came from the cursed ground. And he is a curse. He came from Adam. And him and the sacrifice that he offered, when you bring it to God, you become one with that sacrifice. So anything that you bring to God as a sacrifice, you're one with it. And if you're no sinner, your sacrifice is a sinful thing.
Ooh, yeah.
So God knew that. And in AD 33, he knew in 1971 that there'd be a young boy that wanted eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took his son and delivered him up on the cross. And I can see him up there, God Almighty recognized me as being on that cross with him.
Amen.
And everything that I deserve, every punishment, every ounce of pain I deserve, Jesus Christ bore it. The wages, the payment of sin was death, and it took him and they put him in there. And on that third day, he came up. And I came up with him.
Yes.
And here's where it gets glorious. When Jesus Christ ascended up according to Ephesians chapter 1. Now read it yourself. I ain't going to do all you Bible studying. God wrought something through his mighty power, which he was toward us when he raised his son from the dead and set. That little word, as he could set him at his right hand.
Amen.
A position of authority, a seat, if you please. Jesus Christ told the 12 in Matthew 23, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And Ephesians chapter 2 says we're seated with him in heavenly places. You know, hang on there, turn to Ephesians. I just got to read it. I'm sorry. That you'll get your chicken in a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and notice in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. This power is to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in, now notice, the heavenly places. More than one. Look back in chapter, look in verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Look over with me and notice in chapter 2, in chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in where?
Heaven.
Bless your heart, I got a seat out there. I'm seated in some place in the heavens out there.
Amen.
Just as he's seat is over it all at the head. Your seat might be bigger than my seat, but bless God, I got one. And it's comfortable. And I'll rule and reign with it. Look in chapter 3. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers, where? Heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You know, son, I heard Brother Jerry say one time that the glory Amen. We're going to light up the sky. I believe that. I believe that God's grace and His glory will be manifested and demonstrated through the body of Christ someday out there in eternity. And you know the thing about it is, the Lord knew in 1971 when I trusted His Son, when I realized I needed a Savior and He was the Savior and I trusted Him, He knew that I'd be a scoundrel after He saved me, and He saved me anyway. That just blows my mind. He knew I wasn't going to be worth the gunpowder or take the blowing into hell before I got saved. He knew I wasn't going to be no better after I got saved. But He said, I'm going to save that boy anyway.
Amen.
Why? Because of His mercy. Mm-hmm. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not yourselves, it is a gift of God. Well, someone said, no, the works, lest any man should boast. I ain't going to get there and say, boy, I'm glad I had a part in that. If I hadn't have done what I did, I would have never made it. No. It's all about Him.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.